Good morning, I'm Clark Smith, and this is Issues of the Environment, a regular Wednesday feature during Morning Edition on 89.1 WEMU. 3 weeks ago on this program, we spoke with Dr. Mitchell Rode from the group NoPaxton.com. This is a group of concerned citizens from the Lodi Township, Saline area, where a company called Paxton Resources has been soliciting residents to sign off on mineral rights. These citizens are concerned about what drilling, particularly the controversial practice of hydraulic fracturing, would do to their land and environment, and about the nature of the leases themselves. Our guest this morning does have a different perspective. Jeffrey Cook is the president of Southwestern Oil Company based in Greenville, Michigan, and he's the chairman of the Michigan Oil and Gas Producers Education Foundation. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, how much extraction work is already underway in Washtenaw County?
Well, I understand that a well has been permitted by Paxton, and as your prior show indicated, people are out leasing for oil and gas right now. But historically, there hasn't been a lot of exploration in Washtenaw County. We've had over 60,000 oil and gas wells drilled in the state of Michigan since the state first began permitting wells, and fewer than 200 have ever been drilled in Washtenaw. So this is really a new thing for the people in Washtenaw to deal with.
Well, some of the people, Mitch Rode in particular, have alleged that some of these proposed leases afford no liability protection for the landowner, can result in a decades-long occupation of their property, and they could even lose their homes because mortgage companies won't support this kind of activity on the land. So how do you respond to that?
Well, let's take each of those separately. In terms of the liability, I've chatted with industry lawyers from Michael Myers, Beckett and Jones in Grand Rapids, and they noted for me that under Michigan's Environmental Cleanup Statute, Part 201, a person who owns severed subsurface mineral rights or severed subsurface formation or who leases mineral rights is not liable under the environmental conservation law. So there is no liability there.
To the property owner.
Certainly, the oil company is responsible for all their actions, but the landowner is not in any way. That's also true under Michigan's Oil and Gas Regulatory Statute, Part 615. That just is not the case, and there's no, even under common law, there is no case law, despite 60,000 wells being drilled in the state of Michigan, where a landowner has ever been held liable for the actions of the oil company on their property.
Well, why should a resident sign one of these leases? And if they do, mm-hmm. once the drilling company, whoever it is done with that property, what can the owner expect in terms of repairing or restoring the drilling site?
Well, first of all, most leases don't result in the drilling of a well. We lease thousands of different tracts of property, all in search of the very few that may actually end up in a well. I mean, the leasing is sort of the leading economic indicator, if you will, of the oil and gas process. It gives the oil company the right to explore on the property. So there are thousands of leases that are taken that never see a drill bit. If, however, if you are lucky enough to be one of the property owners whose property is included in a well, it's the responsibility of the oil company when operations are done to repair the property as close as possible to its original condition. Certainly some things like cutting down trees, if that were necessary to create the area for the drill pad, that can't be rectified, but typically it results in some sort of monetary settlement with the landowner for the lumber or the aesthetic loss has occurred. But it is the responsibility of the oil company to repair that land as close as possible to its original condition. In fact, they have to be bonded with the state to do that and to assure that that's done.
So that's all negotiable in the lease?
Absolutely.
Okay. This is Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU. I'm Clark Smith. Our guest this morning is Jeffrey Cook. He's the president of Southwestern Oil Company based in Greenville, Michigan, and he's the chairman of the Michigan Oil and Gas Producers Education Foundation.
Clark, we did not get to the issue of the second other items that you asked in the last question about the length of the lease.
Okay.
That
Let's
too.
Go to that.
Yeah.
Let me just mark the time because I was going to cut that out.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, the term of the lease is also negotiable. Typical lease terms will range anywhere from, on the low side, 3 years to, on the high side, 10 years. And I listened to the prior interview, and it indicated the oil company could be on your property for decades. The only way that that's possible is if there's ongoing oil and gas production from the property, in which case the lease has a term that allows the ongoing operations to occur as long as, in that case, the landowner's being paid for their royalties and so on. There's just no way that the oil company can take a lease and just squat on your property. At the end of the, if you're not in a in a well that's producing oil and gas at the end of the primary term, and that primary term is what we talked about, 3, 5, 10 years, whatever's negotiated with the company, if there are no ongoing operations at that point that are resulting in payment to the landowner, then the lease is terminated and a release will be filed with the recorder of deeds.
And what about the Mr. Rhodes said about the mortgages, that some companies could just say, hey, you know, your mortgage is no good, or we're going to whatever, because we don't allow this kind of activity on the property.
Yeah, well, that's not been our experience in Michigan or in most states. But I would encourage anyone who's considering leasing to talk to your bank. What I think you'll find is that the bankers will understand that an oil lease means potential value here. Every landowner who has a mortgage had an appraisal done of their property. I guarantee you, there was no value given the mineral estate in that appraisal. So in most cases, the fact that you're leasing is and may become productive from an oil and gas perspective, it means another source of revenue that would help a landowner pay off their mortgage. In many cases, the bankers are quite happy to see an oil and gas development occur, knowing that there is no liability for the landowner, and knowing that it may mean another source of income to pay off the mortgage. What they may require is dedication of that new income stream towards payment of the mortgage, but that still benefits the landowner.
There is a lot of news these days about hydraulic fracturing or fracking.
Yes.
What's your opinion on the safety of that practice?
Well, my opinion is it's a very safe process. It's a process that's been going on in over a million wells across the country since it was first implemented 40 years ago. We currently have 12,000 wells in the state of Michigan that are currently producing natural gas and oil that were fracked. The reason it's a safe process is 99% of the fluid that goes into the ground is fresh water and sand. But more than the cleanliness of the fluid, the most important feature in protecting the environment with this process, as it is with all the processes in producing oil and gas from a well, is the casing program. It is a requirement in the permitting and implementation of a well that the aquifer is sealed from the well with steel casing cemented into the ground. So in the first 100 feet below the aquifer, casing is cemented in the ground. At half of the total depth of the well, a second string of casing is cemented inside the first string of casing. The fact is, we don't want anything produced from an oil well to mix with the aquifer, whether it is the fracking fluids or the oil that's produced. And these casing programs that are required by the state have safely sealed the aquifer in the over 60,000 wells that have been drilled in this state.
So 99% is fresh water. What are the chemicals that are used?
Well, there's a list of, you know, of a broad list of chemicals.
Most people keep saying they're toxic.
Well, and they're not toxic in the concentrations that are put into any of these wells. And in fact, the most dominant chemical, as my reading indicates, is a compound called guar, which is actually an additive in ice cream. But these are all in such small amounts. They're things to prevent, you know, small amounts of acid to prevent mineral scaling. This guar is a lubricant. I mean, but we're talking about it in quantities that are so diluted as to not be dangerous. They end up on a material safety list that are provided to the state in case of any exposure by anyone, but in the quantities or in the concentrations that we're seeing in these wells, it's just not a significant item.
So it's safe.
As well, it's safe, not just because of the dilution, but more importantly because the casing prevents that fluid from ever coming in contact with the aquifer.
For more information on today's perspective, I encourage you to visit the Michigan Oil and Gas Producers Education Foundation website. It's mogpef.org. That's mogpef.org. Thank you, Jeffrey Cook. I appreciate it. Jeff is the president of Southwestern Oil Company based in Greenville, and he's the chairman of the Michigan Oil and Gas Producers Education Foundation. I'm Clark Smith. This has been another installment of Issues of the Environment, a cooperative effort of the Washtenaw County Environmental Health Division and the News Department at 89.1 WEMU.